In the Zohar it says that Noach has the energy of Shabbos. We said this already a few times. The oldest book of Kabbalah is called Sefer Yetzirah, supposedly written by Avraham Avinu. And one of the most basic concepts that he explains there is that when Hashem created the world, Yetzirah created the world, he took certain energies, put them into the world, and they took different forms. The same energy, it's a chesed, it's a certain energy, basically means the energy of expansion. It takes different forms, and the three basic forms that energy takes, it goes into place, certain places, let's say certain places, places of chesed, which means certain places of expansion. It's places that expand. Maybe water is like expand, our water spills, it spreads, so it's water represents chesed, has chesed in it. Water is all the whole world, goes around, so it's really a chesed, it's an expansion type energy. So there's energy in makom, in places, there's energy in zman, in time, and there's also energy in nefesh, in people. So let's go about chesed. Obviously certain people have a lot of chesed, they're giving, so it's chesed, the expansion, giving out. And in time, probably the chagim, the Jewish holidays, are times of chesed, God's showering us with blessing, etc. So Sefer Yetzirah says that all the different energies that Hashem used to create the world, now we also believe in the Kabbalah, there are ten sfirot, so it means there are 10 basic energies, chesed, gevurah, etc. So Noach is a person, and the Zohar says in Zman, Noach's nefesh, his soul energy. In Zman, if you look at time, you'll find it in the day of Shabbos. Shabbos and time is the parallel energy of Noach and nefesh. Okay, so it needs an explanation. Because in other words, we have to find out what is the basic energy of Shabbos. What's the basic energy of Shabbos, and how does that basic energy work its way into a person like Noach? Okay. Complicated explanation here, but okay. Okay, what he wants to say is like this. In a nutshell, I'll go through it in a little more detail, but in a nutshell, what he wants to say is that Shabbos is has the energy of Kedusha, the energy of holiness. And that Kedusha of Shabbos drives away the Chol, drives away the weekday. Chol is profane. It doesn't have holiness. It's a plain thing. It's a Dvar Chol. And Kedusha of Shabbos replaces it. So it means like this, it's that a person can have Kedusha, a person can have within himself holiness, and this holiness will drive away the chol, will drive away the plain, profane, as they say, the profane existence. So in other words, there's a very important yisod over here. The yisod is that we look at the world. And this is a very, very relevant point. We look at this world we're in, And we look at it as simple. It looks like a profane world. It's chol. There's no kedusha. However, that perception is deceptive. It is possible to look at the world and see in the world and discover the kedusha in the world, the holiness in the world. The holiness means God's presence. Basically, if you asked me, I would say that the basic mistake that Western culture, the United States, Baruch, and then Europe made over the last 50 years was they decided to look at the world in a simple, profane, superficial, whole way. There's no God, there's no Hashem, there's no holiness. And that's why we see what's going on today, the whole breakdown of society, morality, ethics, because you don't have Kedusha, you lose everything which comes along with it, especially you lose Yiras Elokim, fear of God. And then, for fame, people will do everything for themselves. You know, steal, murder, you name it, they'll do everything for themselves. They're not afraid of God. Because what's the pshat? The pshat is they see everything as chol. Plain, profane, doesn't have any holiness. It's chol, so I'm also chol. And if I'm chol, I do whatever I want. I don't have any restraints. I'm not trying to get myself holy. So, the koach of Shabbos, Hashem gave the gift of Shabbos to us. He gave us a zman, which has kedusha built into it in a much more strong way and also closer to the surface. Regular weekday, it's hard to find the kedusha, the chol, the superficial profanity of a regular weekday is very strong, and it covers up that inner kedusha. However, Shabbos is really, in a certain way, the opposite. Shabbos, the kodesh, is very strong, and the kodesh suppresses any chol. It's why there's an issue of halacha, divrei chol b'Shabbos. You're not supposed to speak even. Or do anything which is profane on Shabbos. On Shabbos, I'm supposed to be so into the kedusha of the day, I'm not even supposed to plan anything for the week. In fact, one of the Shemesh Shmuel's essays, he says that the kedusha of Shabbos is so strong that you're supposed to live it as if it goes forever. And that's in other words, if I'm on Shabbos, there is no Sunday, there is no Monday, that'll never come. Shabbos will exist forever. It's such a powerful day of Kedusha that we say that there's no more expression. Kitcha l'shata, kitcha latid lavo. The Kedusha is now, the Kedusha goes on forever and ever. So, it's an antithesis of Chol, Shabbos. He wants to say a word like this. Noach, the Zohar says, Noach in his personality had the personality of Shabbos. What does that mean? That the Kedusha within him, his personal Kedusha was so strong, it drove away any trace of profanity, of chol, of simple, superficial living. He was an Ish Kadosh. So he asked a very interesting question, Hashem Shmuel. If the way the Zohar explains, Noach is like Shabbos, a very, very strong, deep Kedusha of his personality, so how come he wasn't able to influence the other people in his generation to straighten out? Clearly, if someone has so much Kedusha, that Kedusha could help other people pick up something. For example, by us, we're simple. We have Kedusha, but it's not the highest intense. So there's certain people in this world that we know who are very Kadosh. Certain Tamid Chachamim, Rabbanim, Tzadikim. Even there, you come across a person who's very Kadosh. So if we want to become more kadosh, to get more holiness, so what's the strategy? Get close to a person who is himself already very kadosh. Get close to what the Hasidim call a tzaddik, or the yeshivish call gadol hador, or the Sfaradim call maran, someone who's very kadosh. Get close to such a person, his kedusha will go into you, and you'll be elevated. That's why it says in Pirkei Avos, "Haseh lecha rav." Find for yourself a rav, a certain person who has a lot of kedusha, and you can bask in his light and pick it up. And he'll be makadosh you. Haseh lecha rav. Make yourself a such a rav. In halacha, it's called rav mufak. Every person is supposed to have one rav mufak. That the Gemara says, rov chachmasa mimenu, that he learned most of what he knows from this one person. Doesn't mean, so the rav is rich. My rav said, doesn't mean that quantitatively this person taught you 51 plus percent of what you know, because usually you're learning most of what you know on your own. This person influenced you how to learn, what to learn, where to learn. In other words, he gave you the lifestyle which you're using to achieve the learning of the Kedusha. That's what it means. Rov Chachmaso. Rov Chachmaso means most in the qualitative sense. The quality of what you're learning is based upon this person. He's the model for you. So that's why if you stick to this person, a Selech Rav, you have such a person that's your model, and he has a lot of Kedusha, you may not have as much. So his Kedusha will go into you. That's the basic concept of a Selech Rav. And it's a widespread idea in Torah and in Torah lifestyle. I think it's something that Chassidim are very strong about, the Chassidim, to have a Rav, a Tzaddik, they call a Rebbe, a Tzaddik. And so you look at the Lubavitch. The Lubavitch Rebbe is already in the other world for about 20 years, but the average Lubavitch or Chassid is continuously being inspired by the Rebbe's teachings and the Rebbe's modeling, so that they made him their Rav. It has a tremendous impact. But for me personally, my Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, I'm impacted by him every day, the way I learn, the way I think, what I do. So Selech Rav is a very important thing. It's very widespread. Unfortunately, in the modern Orthodox, where you guys come from, it's a weak point. The modern Orthodox, you can write a book about it, why it happened this way, but that's a reality, that they're weak on the Selech Rav. They're weak on this concept, what he calls here the Noach, Kedusha, Tzaddik, a person with a lot of Kedusha, like Shabbos, who can inspire me and us, and light us up. It's a weakness in modern Orthodoxy, so you should work, you know, when you're in a situation which is weak, so that the Gemara says, B'makom she'ein ish, if the other people around you aren't doing something good, do it yourself. And maybe you'll do it, and then you'll teach others to do it. If everybody's doing something, you don't have to push it. It's being done by everybody anyway. So if you're a chassid, you're a Lubavitcher, don't go out and teach other Lubavitchers to listen to the Rebbe's teachings. Everyone's doing it. But if you're modern Orthodox, and look around modern Orthodox, most of the people don't have a rav. They don't have an individual who's inspiring them, that they're trying to model themselves. So you, first of all, you yourself should say, I have to find myself a rav, to find myself this person who's my model, and I'm going to connect to him and use his kedusha to inspire me to get more kedusha myself, because that's how it works. That's how it works. And once you have such a rav, if he's alive, maybe you get other people to follow him, to use him. The modern Orthodox They're afraid of Rav. They think the Rav will tell them that something is asur, which they want to do. They're afraid. They think that if you have such a Rav, very strong, he's going to prohibit me from doing something. Don't be so afraid. The Rabbanim nowadays are not so strict the way they used to be in the old days. The old days, they were stricter. Don't forget, the old days, the Jews were able to be strict. It was easier to be strict. Nowadays, it's hard to be strict. So therefore, the Rabbanim say, don't be so strict. They work with the people. So don't be as afraid of making a Rav, because you'll find out that the Rav... Anyway, since you're choosing, you can choose the Rav who's good for you. So you find a certain Rav is too strict. So you go to the Rav who's more moderate, but but the main thing is you want to get from this person's Kedusha, his holiness should go into you. So it's a good question. If Noach had the Kedusha of Shabbos, Noach means was a very, very strong source of Kedusha in his personality, so how come the other people in the generation didn't get influenced by him? It's one of the big questions that all the Mefarshim have about the story of Noach and the flood. How could such a big tzaddik be there and other people were not influenced? So that's in the Rashi here. The beginning Rashi says, Yesh Darshim Lekanai. Some people say it's a shame. It's a shame or embarrassment that Noach didn't do enough. That's what this Pshat in Rashi says, that Noach apparently didn't do enough. Maybe he was timid, he was afraid of people. He didn't try enough. That's if you say it's a Yesh Darshim Lekanai. Rashi also brings another Pshat, Yesh Darshim Leshevach, that Noach was wonderful, he was tremendous. He tried very hard to teach people, but it didn't work. So he wants to know, according to the Pshat, that Yesh Darshim Leshevach, that Noach was a tzaddik, Tamim, Rain says Nechumish, simple Pshat, big, big, perfect tzaddik, a lot of Kedusha, like Shabbos, the Zohar. So how come he couldn't influence the rest of the generation, even though he tried? So he says like this. That these other people, he says in this piece or some other piece, he says that, okay, here he says one thing and then something else says another. He gives us two ideas, the Shem and the Shmuel. Both ideas are correct. I'm not sure which one is the truth in terms of what happened there. Maybe both are true. Why do some people, not listen or not pick up education, even though they're exposed to it? It doesn't seem to work. He says there could be two reasons. One reason could be an attitudinal reason. It's an attitude. If the attitude is I'm here to learn, then the teacher will be able to teach. But the guy comes in with the attitude, I'm not here to learn, I'm here to kid around. I'm here to have a good time, I'm here to kid around. And everything is a joke. So if he's has that attitude, what he calls a mocking attitude in Tanakh, there's a certain word in Mishle, which is used again and again as being a very bad character. Some of the Mishle, written by Shlomo Melech, Mishle, he despises a person that he calls a Leitz. Leitz. Lama Tzadik. Leitz, we'd say in English, a scoffer. Someone who makes fun of everything. Everything is a joke. The Rebbe says, put on tefillin. That's a joke. He makes a joke. So these scoffing, mocking, making fun, that will create a tremendous barrier to towards accepting teachings. Someone has a cynical attitude, sarcastic, cynical attitude. So that, he says, the people of that generation had that. They had that thing. Everything was a joke. Noach, he used to call Noach, the old man. He's back again, giving us a speech. And that old geezer, because he's an old man, Noach. So whatever, they made jokes. That was what killed it. That's one shot, he says, yes.
Doesn't Mesiyas Yesharim also focus on that point, too, that it's lots that it makes it very difficult for man to move up the different levels?
Yes. Yeah, because Shlomo HaMelech says it in Mishlei, so you could probably say about America today, the Pchilas Kavod America, not America, but you could say that America went down the road of this comedy, making fun of everything. It's, you know, obviously the jokes, the comedy, so you reach a point that nothing is sacred, everything is a big joke. From the president down to everybody else. Whatever anybody says, joke, make a joke. And put it in some kind of embarrassing way. Many jokes are based on embarrassing somebody. So you create the Mavaza people for Rabbim, and what do you call late sonners. So it's very hard to fix such a society. You say something, you know, serious, and the person turns it into a joke. So that's one shot. Terms of why they weren't able to be reached. Another pshat which he says, I see over here, is that sometimes he says we have four levels of the soul, of the individual soul. It comes up again and again in Chassidus, Shem Shmuel. So we have the physical, the nefesh, ruach, neshama, and the chaya. So we have physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual. Now, it's like this. Sometimes people can sin at this level or that level, but there's some level which is still pretty good. Okay? Let's say a guy is sinning physically, but intellectually, he still understands the idea of good things and good and wrong, bad and right, but his physical body is out of control. But intellectually, he's okay. Or you could have someone who, even let's say, physically sinning, even intellectually, but emotionally, he's doing good things. Even though maybe he does a lot of sins, let's say he eats tray food, and maybe in terms of his thinking, he's not a believer, but emotionally he's a very good person. He does chesed, he gives charity, he goes to the hospital to visit the sick, he takes care of his parents, he's loyal to his brother and sister. So he's an ish chesed. So out of the four levels, one level is still good. So he says, a person who has one level at least, still pretty good, if someone comes along and tries to influence him, to fix him, he will be able to do it because he'll work with that good level. That good level is there, and that good level then will be the pathway into fixing the whole person. That's very important if you want to influence people to do good things. So you should try to figure out where's the good part in that person, and I can work with that good side, and then develop it to expand into all the other levels. That's a very good strategy in terms of chinuch, mashpi on people. Also, by the way, I spoke about children. So when you're working with your own children, you want to see where in the child is the thing which is the good thing. Because children have a lot of issues, whether it's physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual. The Gemara says a child is born with Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Tov takes a long time for it to kick in. It doesn't really kick in until he has a bar mitzvah and gets a lot of education. So children have all four levels with issues. So you have to find out in the child, a pidako, which level is the level I can work with to develop everything else. Okay. But if, God forbid, there's a person or a society which is corrupt and evil on every single level of human existence, physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, everything is corrupted. Everything is makulkal. So it's very, very difficult to fix this. So he says, that generation of the Mabu, they had gotten so bad that every single level of human society was out of, was in an evil mode. So let's say, kina kavo taiva. So kina kavo taiva. So physical pleasures out of control. Emotional selfishness and out of control. Lust for power, out of control. Spirituality, completely distorted. Every level was out of control. So therefore, he says, Noah couldn't reach them. There was just so much evil in the different levels of the soul of the society that it was closed to help. That's a scary thought. That is a scary thought. Okay, so we hope that, you know, we see that today's world has a lot of issues, a lot of problems, spiritual problems, but we hope that there's certain levels which are still okay. And through these levels which are okay, we'll be able to fix everything. Everything will get fixed. It's a scary thought, where he says that sometimes you get so corrupt on every possible level of the soul that there's no way to reach the person. It's completely. Now, I want to add something to this as well, because this is a pretty pessimistic point. And the thing is that there was a flood; they were destroyed. But Shemesh the Chassidim, Shemesh Shmuel, and Chassidim. They say in other places, they say, but this is not true when it comes to Jews. We can see a Jew because they claim that there's a fifth level. There's a fifth level of the Jew which is never corrupted. That fifth level is the connection to all the other Jews in the world, called Yechida. So let's say as an individual, maybe this guy unfortunately corrupted everything. Physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual. But still, deep, deep down, he has a fifth level that he's part of the soul of the Amis of what they call Knesset Yisrael. There's a soul of all the Jews in the world. There's a single united soul which is shared by everybody in the deepest, deepest part of his heart. That can never be corrupted. So there's always hope. That's why the Hasidim say, never give up on a Jew. Even if as an individual he's so corrupted that it's impossible to reach him, but he is reachable because there's a deep, deep, small point, they call it a small point which is not corruptible, which remains pure, and that's the soul of Israel, which is within him. Okay, unfortunately, they don't say that about non-Jews. They don't think that non-Jews have that point which saves them, no matter what. So for the Hasidim, it is possible for someone not Jewish to become so corrupted that he's not reachable. So for example, say Hitler, Yimach Shemo. The guy was so corrupted at every level that no one could ever possibly straighten him out. That's what they would say. You know, certain people become so evil. And according to Shemesh Shmuel, it's possible even for a whole society become so evil. Let's say the Nazi society couldn't straighten it out. It had to be destroyed. Make a new society. But that society was so evil that there was no way of fixing it. However, had there been, God forbid, a Jewish society, you would still be able to fix it, because no matter how many individual Jews are corrupted, but there's this national soul of Israel which goes from generation to generation, from Avram Avinu all the way till Mashiach. That national soul is non-corruptible, and that national soul is the key to sometimes reaching Jews. So they should know that this last point is a very major point in modern Orthodoxy. We're modern Orthodox, this yeshiva. This is a very important one. We accept this point, which is a Kabbalistic Hasidic point, very much. We believe that every single Jew is redeemable, can become a tzaddik. We don't look at, let's say he's a Machal Shabbos, he's eating treif. We still feel that he's 100% part of the Jewish people. You know, Chazal say, Yisrael, Aval Pishachata, Yisrael. That's a very strong principle of modern Orthodox. That every Jew is still Jewish, and being Jewish means that you have a point which makes you a tzaddik, and you just have, and Hashem Yishmur, that it develops the idea that there has to be some good point to hook into, and then you can use that point to fix the totality of the personality. So we believe there is this point, Yisrael Ava Bishachata Yisrael, and that point, we can reach it and use that point to fix everything else. That's the basic idea of modern Orthodoxy, which I think is a very good idea. I happen to believe in that myself very much so, and I can say from experience that it's a true idea. You never know when and how you're going to reach some person's point and it'll fix it. Yes?
It's called
Nekuda Tova. Nekuda Tova, Nekuda Pnimis. It's a very important idea in the Tanya. The Tanya is also, I would call the Tanya one of the original philosophers of modern Orthodoxy. Even though he didn't live a modern Orthodox lifestyle, but his philosophy is an original modern Orthodox. He says this point very strongly. He calls it Ahava Mesuteres, the secret love of a Jew for Hashem. He says every Jew has Ahava Mesuteres, a secret love, which he himself doesn't realize, but it's deep, deep in at the core of the personality, which comes from being part of the Jewish people, which is the Yechida, the highest fifth level. Yeah. So that's a basic concept in modern Orthodoxy, definitely. So that's why modern Orthodoxy has a very wide spread of all kinds of different people, different lifestyles, and different levels of observance. Because we're all together in this Nekuda Pnimis, that inner point, we all share it. So it's very good. It's a very good strong point. It's a Hasidic idea. But non-Jews, I don't think the Hasidic and the Kabbalists think that non-Jews have such a point. They have the four levels. If one of the four levels is still pretty good, you can use that to fix. But if all four levels are wicked, it's very, very difficult to straighten that person or that society out. It probably will never happen. Okay, Botai, I'd catch you there.